This month is a vacation month for many lucky people, and on Tuesdays of this month we are talking about taking it easy, which is not an easy discussion in a busy society like ours. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg concludes her series on leisure by sweeping some dust out from under the carpet.
Well, in a way, it's a dirty discussion about housework and how it has changed over the years. All those labor-saving devices, vacuum cleaners, dishwashers, dryers, designed to give us more leisure time, help us to take it easy. Susan Strasser is author of the book Never Done, A History of American Housework. Now, before all the shiny equipment came along, a lot of housework was sheer drudgery. But did women, and it was usually women, tackle it so that they could achieve the end goal, which was to have more leisure time?
Well, I think that they barely thought about leisure time. There was always work to be done. Sewing, for example. The thing that we think of most often is the quilting bee. On the other hand, if you've got a lot of beans that have to be shelled and you're going to sit down, you might sit down with your sister, with your mother, with your daughter, and shell those beans and have a chat while you do it.
So it was a nice chance to socialize, really.
Well, it was a nice chance to socialize, but again, I think there wasn't the kind of distinction we would make between socializing and work. Knitting, a very good example of something that women were always doing. There was a phrase, she took her work with her. Huh. You see that in 19th century novels sometimes. And that means her sewing, her knitting, her needlework.
So what happened to the quality of life once those big, shiny pieces of equipment came along? It was supposed to improve the quality of life, all of that.
Well, certainly those big, shiny pieces of equipment, if we're talking about washing machines, for example, saved labor. But they also made work. They raised standards of cleanliness. Nobody washed a towel after one use. If to wash a towel, you had to carry the water, heat the water, make the fire to heat the water, do all the rinses, hang the towel on the line. Nobody would think of throwing the towel in the laundry after it had been used once.
What were some of the other implications of that machinery?
Well, another thing was that it tended to isolate women in the home. The washing machine was in the basement. The dryer, when it came in, was in the basement rather than going outside and hanging the clothes on the line and maybe having an opportunity to chat with a neighbor. Once you have a refrigerator, you don't have to shop every day. If you shop, you get an opportunity to talk to the butcher, to talk to the grocer, to be out in the world. So there was an isolating effect as well.
On the other hand, all those machines got rid of what was awful drudgery, really, in the lives of women before then. And also, didn't it provide some sense of leisure?
Technology got rid of a kind of drudgery that I think for contemporary people, and especially contemporary women, would be unimaginable. I don't, you know, want to over-romanticize this or make it sound like I personally am ready to go back and do my laundry by hand. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I don't think that the saving of labor and the making of leisure are the same thing. And one of the things that needs to be considered is that at the same time that many of these innovations were coming into large numbers of households, new tasks were being created for women. I don't think that anybody thought of childcare, for example, as a separate task before the advent of plumbing and electricity and the appliances that went with them. Once that labor was saved, many, many advisors, advertisers, the kinds of people who were telling women what to do, told them that they should be making time for their children that would be spent exclusively on their children. So there was a kind of concentration on child care by itself. Shopping was really a 20th century task. There simply wasn't the kind of time spent on consumption, on shopping, and on planning for consumption that 20th century women did spend.
I wonder what's lost in all of this. Obviously, the socialization, the sitting around with the neighbors, the others in the village, shelling the peas or doing whatever. But isn't there something, this is not, again, as you said, to romanticize the notion of housework, but lots of people find it today really therapeutic to just stand there at an ironing board and turn something wrinkled? straight.
Yeah, I think those simple repetitive tasks actually do nourish us. They center us in a way. There's a famous book on Buddhism called Chop Wood, Carry Water, which really suggests the kind of centering, nourishing kind of features of that work that is more with the hands than with the brain.
Thank you very much. Susan Strasser is a professor of history at the University of Delaware. She wrote the 1982 book Never Done, A History of American Housework. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
And you can hear previous reports in Susan's series by going to our website at npr.org.